I pray that God will impact your life in these next few moments as we gather together. Today, Lord, I just want to say thank you. I honor you. I praise you because you're good to us. Pray that you'll open our hearts, have your way in our lives. Everything we say and all that we do, in the name of Jesus, I pray. And everybody said amen. Is the Genesee County Sheriff, is he standing right out here or is he out front? Where is he? Tell him to stand up here. Hey, can we give our friends from the county a big God bless you today? Come on, stand up here so we can see you. Thank you. Thank you so much for being here. We honor you today. Appreciate you so much. Make sure you shake their hand on the way out and tell them how much you appreciate seeing them here. This week I was on the radio at WDCX, and, you know, in what I do, I'm hearing stories and challenges that people are going through on a continual basis. It's what I do. It's what I love. But I'm cognizant at this time of the year that it can be more difficult on families and homes than other times of the year. It's after Christmas. It's sometimes people overspend at Christmas, and then, you know, the reality of that comes true in January and in February. It's dark, it's cold, it's this, it's that, and sometimes people, they're making decisions and they want to start in a new year with, you know, maybe going through a separation in a home or a family. And while I was on the radio this week, and I always go there in the spirit and in the office of a pastor to pray for people, and one after the other were calling me about family challenges. One individual called me up, didn't want to be on the radio, but wanted to talk to me just for a moment, asked me to pray. I did it during a commercial break, and this individual was weeping profusely over what had happened in their lives, in their home, where their spouse walked out on them, left them, broke their heart. Oh, it just touched me in such an incredible way, and I prayed with them and for them. I meet often with different counselors to get their thoughts and their influence on situations that I'm trying to help people with, and really finding out the right people to send in the right direction. I am not a counselor. I'm a pastor. You know, my way of counseling, you know, is knock it off, straighten up, and don't do that anymore. And that's, I know that's not enough. And so we need that help. Counselors are not bad. Counselors are great. They're a gift from God himself to help us. They can help you unpack things in your life and what brings you to a certain place in your life to make maybe the decision that you want to make. And so they can help you with that. But nevertheless, in the time that we are living in, God wants to do some great things in our lives, and he wants to do it in and through our families, not only the family of God, but our own personal, our home and our family. And if you're here today and your family is in disarray of any kind, I want you to look around, because this is the family of God. This is the family that loves you, will stand with you, will help you, lift up your hands when they're hanging down, will encourage you when you're facing a battle, and be a resource for you to be able to talk to in times when you don't have anybody else or any place else to go. And each one of us should be that with one another on a continual basis to help one another in these areas of our lives. And maybe you're, right now, you're in a time of some pain. And I want to encourage you that God has a great plan for your life, and this is a season for you that you may be going through, but when you get on the other side of it, he's going to do something great in and through your life. Come on, can I get an amen on that? And for some of you, you can't. Amen. Go ahead. If you're going to clap, let's clap for Jesus today. And for some, you can't allow the hurt, the disappointment, failure, your past to define what your future is going to be. For some of you, you're coming out of that. You're coming out. You're going to let God transform you and make you into who and what you are called. And whether your parents were one way or you were grown up in a home that was one way, you don't have to stay that way. This is a new day. You're with a new family. The Bible says you've been grafted into the vine of Christ. He is your Father now. The church is the bride of Christ. You are with the family of God. Behold, all things are brand new. And you can move in that and allow God to make you and I into what He has called us to be. Unique, beautiful, different than what you have been. And the Bible says in Proverbs 24 and verse 3 and 4, it said, by wisdom a house is built. Through understanding it is established. Through knowledge its rooms are filled with rare and beautiful treasures. And I love that. And Solomon is suggesting that these homes, our lives are built with these three thoughts: wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. Wisdom is the ability to perceive with discernment. The Bible says in James that if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, because God, He doesn't give a little. The Bible says He gives with liberality. He gives lots of wisdom to you. And we need that in our lives. The Bible says the next thing is understanding. It's the skill to bring together the elements of life so that we can respond to it and live with understanding and with insight about life. And then the third thing he said our houses can and should be built with is knowledge. It's learning. It's discovering. It's growing. Not with a temporal perspective, but with an eternal perspective. And we need to prepare our hearts. We need to make room in our lives. We need to open up our hearts for the Spirit of the living God to speak to us and speak into our lives. And we can have that by simply asking God, Lord, speak to my heart. Help me to understand. Help me to be a better dad, a better father, a mom, a son, a daughter. And asking Him, He will draw you in the direction that He desires for you to go. And so when we ask Him, we have to be ready for Him to challenge us with some thoughts in our lives, like making changes. Am I willing to make a change in my life? Or am I one of those who are always looking at everybody else around me and say, well, if they would change, then my life would be better. If she would be different, if she would do this, if he would do this, if he would be different, then I would be different. And many times we're hoping and praying that somebody else will change when all the time God is saying, I want you to change. I want you to open up your life and be willing to look and say, hey, maybe I need some alteration in my life. Matthew 18:3, Jesus said, I tell you the truth, unless you change, not somebody else around you, unless you change and become like a child, you will never enter into the kingdom of heaven unless you change. He says, unless you become like a child and be open to receive something brand new, be open and willing to hear something that may be different than what you've been used to hearing. It may be different than the way you were brought up. It may be different than the way your parents taught you or didn't teach you. Do you have to be willing to change? And change is always easier when we approach it like a child, not like an adult, like we know everything. Amen. I know there's nobody here like that. Praise the Lord. And then we have to look at, am I willing to examine the relationships in my life? These are the things that God wants us to look at for our homes to be built up. Am I taking for granted some of the people that God has placed in my life? Maybe it's in our own home. Maybe it's with your wife. Maybe it's with your husband. Maybe it's with your children. You know, I'm at the age now where I let my children, they have a voice into my life. They speak to me and tell me things all the time. They say, Dad, you should think about this. You should do this. You should consider this. And you know what I found out? That, you know, even though they're my children, they have great wisdom and they speak truth into my life. And I need to hear that. I need to examine that. I need to make that shift in my life. I remember when I had to make that turn in my life. Instead of me telling them. Now they are telling me. Do I have relationships that are pulling me away from the best that God has for me? Am I listening to people to tell me things that I want to hear instead of things that I need to hear? If you have somebody around you and they're saying things like, well, if you love me, you'll agree with me. That is the dumbest statement that anybody could ever make. I don't want everybody to agree with me all the time. I don't want everybody, to sit down at the table and tell me, yeah, just go and act like a complete idiot. And if it makes you feel good, just go do it. I want somebody sometimes that'll get up on my grill and say, hey, that's not healthy for you. You need to make a change here. You need to do something different. You need to go in a new direction. Hello, are you listening to me? And if I only have the relationships with me that are telling me everything that I want to hear, I'm never going to grow and be who God has called me to be. And maybe you have relationships in your life right now that are drawing you away from God's best. You need to consider what you are going to do about that. Married people, you can't have best friends of the opposite sex. And I know everybody loves it when I say that. I always have somebody come up to me later and get mad at me. Well, I've got this best friend. She's been my best friend forever. Come and talk to me about that at some other time. People with substance abuse problems, you can't have friends that have that same problem. Alcohol issues, whatever it is, some type of personal issue, you got to get into a new tribe. You got to hang around with some people that got some victory in those areas. 1 Corinthians 15:33, don't be misled. Bad company messes good people up every time. Proverbs 13:20, whoever walks with the wise, they become wise. I love that. But the companions of fools, you're going to be like them. You're going to be just like them. 2 Corinthians, my mom used to tell me when I was a kid, she goes, I know where you've been by who you've been hanging around. I used to hate it when she said that. 2 Corinthians 6:14, don't be yoked together with an unbeliever. For what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? And the answer is none. And Paul uses that illustration about being yoked, like oxen being yoked together, going and pulling for one purpose. You can't have an oxen on one side of a yoke and a poodle on the other side. It's never going to work. And God's saying, be careful, be cautious in the relationships that you build your life around. Am I willing to let go of some of the things in my past or in someone else's past? The truth is that some people will be in the same place a year from now because they choose not to move past those areas, not to forgive someone who has hurt them, not to let something go of something that maybe their spouse did or a friend did to them. Colossians 3:13, make allowance for each other's fault and forgive anyone who offends you. How can that be any clearer? Forgive. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. He's not talking about someone else. He's talking about you and I. Come on, can I hear a better amen than that? You got to do, come on, my brothers and sisters. I'm talking to people that are Christians and they're upset and they're carrying offenses and they're mad at people. Let it go. You're not getting any younger. In fact, when you carry offenses and unforgiveness, you get old fast. Thank you, Pastor, for telling me that. I really appreciate that today. Then the second part of that is the same thing. He says, through knowledge, its rooms are filled with rare and beautiful treasures. Like, here's some knowledge to create some treasures in your room, in your house, in your home. Don't be afraid of the word repetition. Practice it. It's the action of repeating something over and over and over again. You're not harping, you're training. Repetition. Seven times in the Gospel of John, Jesus said, "These things I spoke to you." 14 times in Exodus, the scripture said, "And the Lord spoke to Moses." Repetition is important. Psychology says that mass repetition is repeating a phrase or an action back to back that brings health, and it brings a reality, and it brings a strength, and it helps us to learn how to do things. Paul speaks about this concerning the flesh in Galatians 5:21. He said, "Let me tell you again, as I have told you before." I've always loved that. "Let me tell you again, like I've told you before," because telling us once isn't enough, is it? "That anyone that lives this sort of life will never inherit the kingdom of heaven." He tells us over and over again. And through repetition, we build families through love, not once. A husband and a wife went to a counselor, and the counselor says, "Sir, your wife says that you never tell her you love her." The man looked up. He said, "I told her when I was marrying her at the altar. Isn't that enough?" And the answer is, no, that's not enough. Through repetition, through over and over, through a demonstration of healthy choices, over and over. We demonstrate this with our children over and over again. Some people say, "Well, that just seems like harping on them. I've already told them that," or "they've heard it already." And somebody said to me this week, "I feel like I just say the same thing over and over and over again." And I learned from an expert one time. He said, "When people are just beginning to hear it, you think like you've said it a million times." Fathers, moms, your children, when you think you've told them over and over and over, and you think, "Why don't they get it?" They're just beginning to hear it. How many moms and dads have only told their kids, "Pick up your clothes, throw your dirty clothes in the hamper, hang up your wet towel, throw them dirty socks away"? There's wives here. You're dealing with things with your husband that your mom, their mom may have never done with repetition. And those things still go on the floor. Full disclosure, I still throw some clothes on the floor. You want to know why? Because my mom would pick them up for me. You want to know why now? Because my wife picks them up for me. And you know what else? I'm so glad that she loves me that much, but doesn't make it right. There's four levels of learning. Unconscious incompetence. That's when you don't know what you don't know. It's like a 2-year-old thinking that they can drive. Then the second level is conscious incompetence. That's when we realize, or they realize, that they really don't know how to. And then number three level is conscious competence. It's like learning to drive that stick shift. We're trying to pull and push and do all these things. And it's like, oh, I don't know. I got to think about everything that I do. And then the fourth level is unconscious competence. It's when you're just doing it, and it's naturally everything you do. You just know to do it. How many of you go into your house, you know what to do. When my wife comes into the house at night, I know exactly what she's going to do first. She's going to walk over to the sink. She's going to look into the sink. It's unconscious competence. Because she knows some of the things that she does. It's like driving a car. You think, you don't have to think about making the choices. They're just normal to you. And that's what repetition does in our lives and in our homes. An expert has 1,000 hours of experience. A master has 5,000 hours of experience in a certain area. And less than 5% of people ever reach to being a master. 5,000 hours doing something. A virtuoso or a maestro has 10,000 hours of study in the same thing. That's the difference. And sometimes we think, well, I told them once. Isn't that enough? No. Repetition. Number two You have to learn to make healthy memories in your lives, in your homes, in your families. You're going to have that healthy family. You got to choose to make a healthy memory. 1 Corinthians 11:2, I commend you because you remember me in everything and maintain the traditions even as I deliver them to you. Instead of you and I complaining about everything, and the Lord really checked my heart on this because I'm a little bit of a complainer when it comes to snow. If you know me, I'm not a big fan of it. Praise the Lord. And I let everybody around me know it. I don't like it when people say things like, oh, isn't the snow beautiful? I just think the first thing I think, yeah, because you don't have to shovel it. You don't have to pay to have it shoveled, have it plowed or salted. Sure, you like it. You stay in the house and everybody else waits on you. Poor attitude. Wrong attitude. Instead of doing that, next time it snows, I'm going to post it on social media. I'm going out and I'm going to make a snow angel and make some good memories out of it. And if you feel like you've blown it in that area, you got time to make that up. Create some healthy memories for your family, for your children. Create some moments where you can do something that they won't forget about. And can I tell you that some of the most, the greatest memories that you can make are not just with you, but it's when you help make a memory for someone else that lasts even longer than you can even imagine. And we need to experience some great things together. Be intentional about including others. Colossians 3:15, let the peace of Christ keep you in tune with each other and step with each other. None of us going off and doing your own thing. Come on, let's bring others with us. Let's do it together. And then lastly, in our homes, we're family. Do something out of your comfort zone. And I know, man, I talked to some people, they're not going to do it. They're going to stay in that same little body. They're never going to step out of that. Listen, it may look impossible for you. It may be so far removed of what you're used to. But if God is for us, who can be against us? Some of you, you got to step out. You got to do something different that you've ever done before. I never would go on a missions trip. I always thought that was for someone else until the Lord just pinned me down into a corner. And I went, and then I found out, I discovered, God, you wanted to use me in that area. You wanted to do something with me. And for some of you, you got to take a step in that direction. Psalm 119:105, your word is a lamp for my feet and a light to my path. God lights where your feet are, but when you begin to walk, He'll be a lamp to your path, and He'll take you, and He'll allow you to experience and do things that you never thought you could do. Maybe it's forgiving someone. Maybe it's reconnecting with someone. Maybe it's just an area of your life that you just thought, well, that's just for someone else. That's not for me. Can I encourage you today? Lay that down. And what is it that God might have you do? Maybe it's as simple as getting one of those money makeover books. I don't need that. And I've talked to people that they don't have 10 cents and they say, I don't need that. I know all I need to know about that. That's not wise. That's not wise for your home or for your family. For some of you, it's even just being here at church today. That was a step for you. For some of you, it may be making a step to give Jesus your heart and your life, and making Him the Lord and the Savior of your life. I want those that are going to help with communion. I want to just close this morning. I want to tell you this story. I got a call from a gentleman this week that attends another church in Buffalo, Lovejoy Church, that I've gone and spoke at several times. He called me. He said, Pastor Marty, my sister-in-law's husband is dying of cancer. And I wonder if you knew someone that could go see him, talk to him. When you receive the cup and the bread, just hold it and we'll partake together. He called me up and he asked that, and I said, absolutely. I thought, right then and there, I thought, well, I'll go And then I felt the Lord just encourage me. No, I want you to call. Actually, he told me to call Ron Servone. I've known Ron for almost 40 years. Ron, when he was young, Ron had a passion. He had a hunger for souls. Through life, through challenges, that kind of got watered down a little bit. I called him up. I said, Ron, I got this call, this man. I felt the Lord. He said, I'll go. I said, well, let me give you the phone number. You can call him, make sure it's good. No, I don't need the phone number. I'll go. If you know Ron, when he gets something in his mind, heaven nor hell is going to stop him. But now he's got a good purpose in his mind. And I'm sure for a moment that there was an element of fear in his life, because to go and do that, let me just say this. Every one of you, when you receive the cup and the bread, just hold it, we'll partake together. Every one of us, if we've given our lives to Christ, we need to be soul winners. We need to be able to tell other people about Jesus. He said, I'm going to go see him. I said, great. And I knew that was going to be a little stretch, but he stepped out of it. He called me back in about 2 hours. He said, Pastor Marty, he said it was beautiful. He said, I went in there. I prayed for him. He prayed with me. He asked Jesus to come into his heart. And then when he opened up his eyes, this is a man, I don't know, but that he never walked with the Lord before. He said when he opened up his eyes, he asked to help sit up in bed. And when he said he looked around the room, he said, I see Jesus everywhere. I got a call. This was Friday night. I got a call last night. I'm laying in bed. I'm wiped out. I look at the phone. It's a number I don't know. And Patty's there. You better answer it. I go, okay. There was this man that called me from Buffalo. He said, Pastor Marty, the man that you sent your friend to go talk to, he just died. And he went to be with Jesus. Why am I telling you this? For some of you, you've been put in these positions where you felt the Lord prick your heart. I need to say something to them. I need to tell them about the Lord. And for some of you, you've missed that opportunity. God's not only watching, but for a mom and a dad, your children have been watching. And he wants you to step out of that safety zone. Sometimes, you know, our families, they grow exponentially when we step out of a comfort zone. I'm not talking about doing something foolish. I'm talking about adding faith into your life and watching God do something beautiful. Come on, amen today. Take the bread. For some of you, you need to ask Jesus to come into your life right now, even before we partake. You need to say, Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Savior. Be my Lord. I don't care how young or how old you are. You need to do that right now. Say, Jesus. Everybody say it with me. Say, Jesus, take my life. It's yours. I ask you to be my Savior and my Lord. Jesus took bread. The night he was betrayed, he broke it, he blessed it, he gave thanks, he gave it. He said, this is my body, which is broken for you. Take it, eat it, every one of you, and remember what I have done. Let's partake of the bread, the body of the Lord. Thank you, Lord. In the same way he took the cup, my blood, he said, this is the New Testament. Forgiveness of sin, healing of your body, redemption is in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. He said, when you drink it, remember who I am, what I've done for you in particular. Let's drink the cup together. Prayer people, come on down to the altar with me, if you would. Spirit of the living God, have influence on every life, every home, every family here, I pray today. May you be lifted up and glorified in our homes, in our lives. Make right what's been wrong. Heal what's been broken. Restore what's been lost, I pray today. In the name of Jesus, I ask it. And everybody said amen. You need prayer before you go? Let one of these people pray with you today. That's an act of faith. That's stepping out. For some, your dad, your children need to see you respond. Mom, your children need to see that. A husband, maybe you're here today and there's troubles in your relationship. Your wife, maybe she needs to see you do this before you leave today. Ma'am, there's no better time than right now for you to respond to God. I love you. God bless you. Go in His grace today. Come on, if you need prayer, come on down. I love you.